Please turn your Bibles with me over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, where you can just watch with me up here to make sure I'm not making this stuff up. So we're in the 12th chapter of Luke. There are 24 chapters in Luke, which means we're halfway by quick math. And the Gospels, especially the three synoptic Gospels, put most of the emphasis on the last week or week and a half of Jesus' life. And that's true in Luke. I need to remind you that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to die for us. And he has basically picked a fight with the religious leaders, with the Pharisees and teachers of the law. And in that context, the text says in Luke that they gathered around him, besieged him with questions, looking for some way to get at him, something to accuse him about. So this is a constant barrage. And you need to remember that, because what we're going to read about is in that context. In I'm just going to read verse 1. It's not up here. He says, "Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so they were trampling on each other, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples." So this crowd is there, thousands, and they're trampling on each other. And that's the crowd in verse, little numbers today, 13, okay. This is the crowd. He says, "Someone in the crowd said to him, 'Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me.'" Inheritance. That's can be a very sticky situation, can't it? Families get along very well during those times. Yeah. So out of the crowd, somebody yells this, and he's been teaching his disciples about beware the yeast of the Pharisees, this hypocrisy, this acting we looked at last week. And somebody shouts this question out. Now, is it a sincere question? We don't know. Is it a trap that someone's trying to besiege him with? That kind of feels more like it from the way that Jesus answers them. But remember, in the Jewish culture, in the Jewish law, the older son got the lion's share of everything. And the further on down you were, you're just kind of out of luck as far as inheritance. So what's this guy want? Does he want to pick on that concept of the older law? Now think about this. If Joseph has died, and it's probable that Joseph has died because we don't hear about him anymore, who would have inherited everything Joseph had? Jesus. Does it look like he's held on to that inheritance? No. So maybe this is something with somebody new at his situation that's gonna cause problems or something. But in a couple chapters, Jesus is going to tell a parable that's only in Luke, the parable of the prodigal son. Remember that one? Dad's not even dead yet, and the younger brother says, "Hey, give me my share of the inheritance." Which is a real nice thing to somebody who hasn't died yet, right? We'll get to that in a couple weeks. So in this context, somebody shouts out this question and wants Jesus to either step into some kind of trap or actually get him more money from his brother. Here's what Jesus says, verse 14. Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbitrator between you?" He said, what's up? What are you doing? Can I legally tell your brother what to do? Who appointed me? Then he said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." You want me to get you possessions? Jesus is saying, that's not what your life is about. That's not what your life is about. What you're dealing with here is greed. You want more stuff. More stuff. That's going to lead into the worrying passages. How much of worrying is about having more stuff? We have an interesting culture here in Sun City, in Sun City West. We have a lot of estate sales. You know what you see at estate sales? Stuff. You know what you buy at estate sales? Stuff. You get a good deal on them, though, don't you? And guess who didn't want that stuff? Yeah, the kids. So he says here, be on your guard. Watch out for all kinds of greed. And in verse 16, he says, he told them this parable. And again, guys, this parable is only in Luke. If we didn't have Luke's letter to Theophilus, we wouldn't have this parable. So Luke got this from somebody. Remember he said, I've done a careful investigation, and we can see where he interviewed certain people. All the stuff that we have about Mary, we're sure he talked to Mary, right? So somewhere Luke found out that Jesus told this parable, and he puts it in his book for Theophilus. He says, he told him this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. Good news, yeah. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, but it turns out he does have barns. They're not big enough, though. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns. See, he had barns. I didn't make that up. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. Okay, so we're going, hey, why didn't you just add on to them? Why'd you have to tear them down? Well, in this situation, they probably stored them in the ground, right? Like a large silo in the ground, probably stone, lined with stone. So to make it bigger, you had to tear down the stone, dig it out bigger. And, you know, that helps keep it at a certain temperature because the ground keeps a certain temperature. Yeah, some agricultural lessons there for you. Not my forte. But yeah, I always wondered growing up, why would he tear them down to make them bigger? Why didn't he just add on? So, anyway, he's got these big plans because he had a good harvest. And it says here, I'll say to myself, and most of them have self, I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. You think he's going to plant next year? You think he's going to be building bigger barns next year? No, no. He is just going to hang on to his stuff and say, ah, I've made it. Well, first off, he's talking to himself. None of us do that, do they? Do we? Nobody here talks to themselves? Okay, good. Some translators say, it said to my soul, myself. But he's got this plan. What does this plan not include? Yeah, sharing folks with folks that don't have enough. Were his barns big enough before? Yeah. So he could have given every, could have filled up his barns and given everything else away, and he would still be in good shape, right? He's a landowner. Remember the inheritance thing? Remember who gets the land? The firstborn? So here's what happens in the story. But God said to him, you fool. We're not supposed to say that. God can. Because he knows who they really are. You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? Who's going to get this stuff? No mention of his kids. He didn't think about sharing with his kids. He didn't think about setting up his kids. Who's going to get this stuff? Verse 21 is, this is how it is with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich towards God. This all came from a question where somebody was trying to bait him and say, hey, tell my brother to divide the stuff up. He said, that's not what your life is about. And then he goes on teaching. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do, by the way, when you see a therefore, you ask yourself what it's there for. Because of this, because of what he just said in this parable, he said, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Do you believe that? Well, if you can believe that, then you're going to have a good chance not to worry. But if you think that life is about stuff, it's going to lead you into worry. And that comes from greed, wanting more stuff. He says, consider the ravens. Wait a minute. You know, we talked about sparrows last week, like the song says, his eyes on the sparrow, right? We all like sparrows. Yeah? And know that God can, and he knows how many hairs are on your head, right? All those amazing things, how awesome God is, how great thou art, right? Yeah. How often do you think about ravens? Besides Baltimore, I don't know who your team is playing today. Okay, the Baltimore, no. This is, you know any ravens? Those big, black, smart, scary birds. Biggest ravens I ever saw were in Arizona. By the Grand Canyon. In the parking lot, going up there. I mean, they look like dogs, little dogs. I'm, whoa. They are carrion birds. Remember carrion? Things that eat dead things. Yeah. So, consider the ravens. How many ravens do you want in your yard? What has to die in order for a raven to eat? Something. Could be you. Yeah, you know what happened on battlefields? Yeah. Ravens. Consider the ravens. He says, they do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And they're big. They're not little sparrows. Consider the ravens. How much more valuable you are than birds? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Now, this is before they had supplements and vitamins, and, you know, you... Do you see what Jesus is saying? Life is not about things. Even if those things are even food. But if you don't have any food, it becomes very important, doesn't it? Right? That's why we collect food. For folks that don't have food. What about clothes? How important are clothes? How many of you took advantage of the cooler weather and put on long sleeve shirts today? Just because, yeah, you're tired of your spring, I mean, your winter clothes. And I want to get some different clothes. You know, that's okay. I started out with long sleeve. I had to roll them up. Clothes. You worry about them. How good does that do? How much good does that do you? Does that add a single hour to your life? He says, God knows you need this. Well, let me just let him say this, okay? He says, why do you worry about the rest? He says, verse 27, consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. Did you hear that? God knows that you need clothes. God knows that you need food. God knows that you need drink. Who's going to provide for you? God. Why do we give grace before meals? To acknowledge that all this stuff comes from God. He says, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. God will make sure you have clothes. God will make sure you have food. God will make sure you have something to drink. It may not be cold. No. You can spend all your time and energy thinking this is what life is about. But what is life really about? It's about having God as king. That's what it's about. And Jesus says, but seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Seek God, having God as king, acknowledging that God owns all this stuff, it's all God's. He's going to give you what you need. He'll take care of that. You don't have to worry about that. That is not what your life is about. Now remember where Jesus is going. He's going to go lay down his life. We have one more paragraph. He says, do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? And making you send chills, little flock. You know, it's interesting because this terminology isn't used anywhere else in the Synoptic Gospels. You know where it does show up is in the Gospel of John, where Jesus said, I am the good shepherd, I am the gate, and the sheep go in and out, right? Where did Luke get that? Because that is only in Luke. It's not Matthew and Mark. I don't know, maybe he talked to John, the Apostle John. But in the midst of all this crowd that are trampling on each other, and all this chaos, and all these people trying to get at Jesus, he's talking to his little flock. And he says to him, do not be afraid. God is really excited. He is pleased. He's happy to give you the kingdom. He's happy to be your king. And he says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. You notice what he didn't say? Give your possessions to the poor. Do they need your stuff? No, you give them, you know, some money and, you know, they'll probably have to buy food or something with it, or the minimum stuff. But he says, sell it. Give it to the poor. Provide purses for yourself that do not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The kingdom of stuff. Do you want to live in the kingdom of stuff or the kingdom of God? Do you want stuff to be king? Or do you want God to be king? Where do you spend your energy, effort, mental time? To the point of worry, to the point of fear, someone's going to take my stuff. What am I going to do without my stuff? Your life doesn't consist of your stuff. Yeah. So if you know that, if you internalize that, what's that going to do to worry? What's it going to do to greed? What's it going to do to fear? When you say, God is my king, he takes care of me, and oh, how great thou art, God, much bigger than my stuff. Yeah. And again, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And he's calling his disciples his little flock. And the shepherd is going to be struck down because he gives himself up. Because this is how they get the kingdom. This is what Jesus is pleased to do in order to give you the kingdom. In order for the Spirit to be poured out, in order for you to understand what God is worthy of being your king, that he's provided for you, he's provided all the forgiveness that you need. And he knows you need food and clothing. He knows that. He'll take care of that. But boy, to wake up tomorrow without worry, greed, and fear, and to realize that it pleases God to be your king. He's pleased. We're going to listen to a song before we take the Lord's Supper and remember that sacrifice that it took for us to have God as king.